Time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Thanks for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese. Chris Rogers from the Office of Family Life will be coming and talking about a number of topics, mostly involving dads and sons. Kind of an interesting show and a big event coming up as well. But I had to mention something I just read about today. In the world of social media and, of course, social dating online, there are so-called guys or women who are red flags, which means maybe not somebody you really want to date. And then there are green flags, which means, hey, these are people maybe you do want to date. Well, now there's a new one. It's called beige flag, which means there's nothing really wrong with them that you'll find red flaggable, but they do have quirks. And one of the quirks they mentioned was somebody who, instead of setting an alarm clock to go off at, say, 6:30 in the morning or whatever, they set a self-timer for like 7 hours. So this way, regardless of what time they actually get to sleep, they get their full 7 hours or 8 hours or whatever it happens to be. It's called a quirk. Nothing really breaking up a relationship about, but it is a so-called beige flag. Now, not that I'm in any way, shape, or form in the online dating scene, but if you were to be visiting with me this morning, you would have seen me get out my vintage 1979 Mr. Coffee non-electric. That's right, it was a Mr. Coffee that did not use electricity. You would have to look it up to see it. I think maybe it might be a beige flag. Be back after this with Chris Rogers on Connecting the Diocese. After mentioning briefly my Mr. Coffee non-electric and suggesting if you were curious you could look it up, I decided to look it up, so I typed in Mr. Coffee non-electric into Google and asked it to show me images. Mr. Coffee non-electric does not show up at all. Now, you consider the fact that the vast resources of the internet, the millions of pictures out there, the artificial intelligence, the vast, almost scary aptitude of Google to be able to find things, and it could not find a picture of my Mr. Coffee non-electric. Which just goes to show you can't always depend upon the internet to deliver the goods. Now, this is especially true if you are seeking information about, for example, what the Catholic Church believes about this or that, what so-and-so, a priest, bishop, cardinal said about this or that, what's happening in the Catholic Church, what the Pope is up to, all kinds of things. If you just type them into search, you may get good information, you may get bad information, and it may simply miss the information that you're looking for. This is why I always suggest one of the great starting places to go, and they put a lot of work into it, is go to the Diocese of La Crosse website, diolc.org. You'll be tapped into the Catholic News Service. There's a calendar of events as to what's going on all over the diocese, and the bishop's commentaries are in there. There are links to YouTube homilies from priests. Everything is on there. There's even, of course, a prayer request area as well. In times when you're looking for things and you find no information or misinformation, and also, of course, disinformation, it's really important to go to sources you can trust. And for information about the Catholic Church, about prayer, about all these things that we talk about on this show, not to mention all of our previous shows, just go to the source, diolc.org. And by the way, a Mr. Coffee non-electric is basically a plastic tub on top of another plastic tub you pour water through. But Mr. Coffee did make it.
Catholic news and interviews. This is Connecting the Diocese.
Well, I want to welcome back to Connecting the Diocese, Chris Rogers, the director of Family Life.
Yep,
that's it. No, that's it. Office of Family Life. How you doing?
Oh, good. Very good. Very busy, but that's a good thing.
Your kids back in school now, or what's going on?
Yeah, well, I have three of mine are out of school. The last one, she is in school now. So
okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's a little calmer.
Yes, a little bit. A little bit. Only one set of evening homework to do instead of four. So yeah.
And what grade is that one in now?
She's in sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Okay. Now, I have to ask you this question. I mean, I'm not in the loop on these things. What is the gotta have stuff you must take to sixth grade these days?
As far as like what to wear and that kind of thing.
Yeah, or just the stuff you put in your backpack. Do you have a backpack? That kind of thing.
Oh yeah, she does have a backpack. really, she doesn't really take anything besides the stuff that she needs. She's I think she's kind of like me, that we pack light. Both of us pack light usually.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I was kind of over at like a Dollar General store, and they've got a lot of stuff there. And of course, they also take donations as well. I was really kind of amused because they have calculators there that are pretty sophisticated. For a buck and a quarter.
Oh wow.
You know? Yeah. And I'm thinking back of, boy, the first one I bought, I won't tell you how long ago it was, but it was a lot of money, and all it did was add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and that was it. But it was good.
Back in my day, they came out with a calculator watch, and yes, that was the coolest thing to have ever.
You would be very surprised that these watches that from the 70s, right, and sometimes the early 80s, that were liquid crystal displays.
Oh, yeah.
They are now being remade and resold as retro.
Oh, wow.
And I saw one, and I forget how much it was, but it wasn't $20 anymore. And it looks just exactly like you went to Radio Shack in 1978 and bought the stainless steel thing that, you know, that had that said, you know, Radio Shack on it or whatever. It was really funny. It's an instant geek watch.
Right.
It was really good. It was really good.
Right.
The reason we're getting you on today, Chris, a lot of different things to talk about, but the really big thing, and I'm getting kind of excited about this, is the Men of the Cross Conference. Give us the who, what, where, when on that, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is for all the men in our diocese and well, anywhere. They want to come from anywhere. We'd love to have them. But also with that, with the men, the high school guys can come for free if they come with their dad, their grandpa, their uncle, their guardian, whoever, because we want to start raising our young men up as well and inviting them to these things. And so we're excited about that. But it's going to be on October 14th, Saturday, October 14th at the La Crosse Center downtown, La Crosse.
Now, again, just to repeat, the Men of the Cross Conference, where is it going to be?
It's going to be held at the La Crosse Center.
So this is a big deal. This is not like, you know, the VFW hall. This is big.
It's in the South Hall. Yep. So it's a bigger hall. We're hoping to grow this and see where it can go.
And one time again, for me with short-term memory loss, the date?
October 14th, Saturday, October 14th.
Okay. Yeah. And so let me give out the website address. So people who don't catch all this, you know, they're driving in their car or whatever, can't hear it all, can check it out. What is the website? What's the best place of finding out more about it?
Just go straight to menofthecross.org. That's it.
You guys are getting
everything about the conference and the registration tab and all that good stuff.
Yeah. You know, I must admit, our communications folks in all these different departments have gotten very savvy in not giving out, you know, go to this thing, /..
Oh, yeah. Because, underscore this. And
Yeah. It's very good. And also, if one didn't catch that, you probably could just Google Men of the Cross La Crosse and probably would take you to it, or at least take you to the diocesan website, absolutely, which has got a big billboard about that up on the top as well.
Yep.
You know, I was thinking a lot about this past couple of weeks. We booked this ahead of time. And obviously, we're not going to spend the entire hour talking about the specific mechanics of what's going on, although we are going to talk about that.
Sure.
But there's an awful lot of stuff in the news these days about men and also their kids, their young men. For the purpose of this discussion, we're not talking about the women in the family. There are other things we'll be getting into at some other point on that. But this is about guys. This, ever since, you know, the prodigal son. I mean, there have always been drama between dads and their kids, right? And number one, there's a big thing, which is really a little off topic for us, but we're talking about how grown men now, you know, big time men, there's a lot of loneliness going on.
Right.
A lot of difficulty making friends. And it's a whole big topic. And I would simply submit to you the idea that you can make friends very nicely if you get more involved in your church.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you see, you take it for granted. I take it for granted.
Oh, I definitely do. Yeah.
But I mean, there is everything from doing stuff like working on a pancake breakfast to helping clean up the sanctuary before Easter or something like that. There's always stuff to be done.
Yeah.
And it usually is not an individual thing, which is one person. It's working in a group. And you get to meet other guys.
Yep. Yep. And I feel like people, I don't know, and maybe this could be just me, I don't know, but that sometimes I get in my head that, well, this guy, he has enough friends, he doesn't need another one, he doesn't need me, you know, and I just think people have enough friends, and so I'm not as proactive as I probably can and should be, because I just assume that people, you know, have enough friends already. And I think too, it's like, what does that even look like as far as like becoming someone's friend? I mean, when we're kids, it's easy to do it. When we're kids, oh, you've got this toy I like. Oh, we should share. Oh, I've got this one, you know, that goes with that set. We should play together. Or, you know, we both play baseball or football or tennis or hockey or whatever, you know, we can practice and we can do that together. But so, yeah, you know, when we're kids, it's easier to make friends, I think. But now as adults, it's, you know, we have our jobs and then you can make friends with people at work maybe. But if you're not making friends with people at work, where do you go to make friends? You know, what avenue is there? Because really, you know, we have the avenues as parents of driving our kids around to places. But a lot of times that ends up, well, I'll drop my kid off and then I'll go sit in the car and play on my phone till they get done. Or I'm sitting over here by myself. And I think there's not, people don't know how to approach each other anymore. I mean, and I'm as guilty as anybody.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And exacerbated by the pandemic as well. What you have to kind of do, it seems like, is you meet some guy and you have to discover if you have mutual interest. And that's always dicey. You know,
right.
With me, it's not too difficult in the sense that I can, you know, have a camera with me. And usually that means I like photography and something like that. And of course, if I run across somebody who is either present or more likely former radio person, oh, boom, we can chat away idiots. But that's on a very superficial level. You can talk, and that's still a start, you know, beats. Well,
yeah. If you think about it too, this isn't just guys, this is everywhere. I mean, look at, I've been married over 25 years, so I'm not in the dating world at all. But what you read about, what you hear about, like, that's where people are finding people to date, is online on these different sites and whatnot. It's not really meeting people in person. And then, you know, like you said, finding those like interest and then going out. It's meeting online. So you go online, I guess you can like create a profile and then people can go and scan through and say, oh, these are their interests. This is who they are. This is where they work. This is what they do. Oh, we match. I should go and message them or whatever. And
yeah,
and there's not one for friends, I don't think, that I know of.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's a good point. That's for dating somebody.
Right.
Yeah. That's just this is not for like, let's just hang out. You know, that's an interesting point. It's very good.
But I think we've lost the ability to approach people and connect with them because for whatever reason, I don't think we know how to do that anymore.
Yeah. And when you throw in the added dimension of religion or spirituality, boy, you know, guys, a lot of times don't even talk about that. If they think about it, they keep quiet about it a lot of times. And you will find that some of the most interesting people who are those who have an interest in their own religious life, and especially if they can discuss it with you without getting too crazy about their particular brand versus the next guy's over here. You walk up to someone and say, do you like talking about religion?
right.
Boom. Right. Door gets shut. Right.
Right. Right. There. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But like, you know, you go to a sporting event and you're surrounded by a stadium of 30,000 people or whatever wearing the same jersey you are. It's like, oh, we have something in common, but we don't go up to them and approach them that we love the same team or whatever, you know? But you go to something like the Men of the Cross Conference, you're at least in this room. It's like, okay, here's people who believe pretty much the same thing that I believe. There may be some variants here or there, you know, you never know, but pretty much I have something in common with everyone in this room.
That's a good point because, you know, it's like basically saying, if you didn't have this kind of interest or tug or whatever you want to call it, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
And so we've already broken through one wall right there.
Yeah.
And then if you discover, not only has this guy got an interest in being involved in church, but he also likes classic cars or fishing, you know, or bowling or hunting or whatever it may be. Boom. Now you've broken through a second wall.
Yeah. Yep. And the same thing can be said for Mass as well. You go to Mass and look around, there's people that believe pretty much the same thing you do probably, and you have something in common already.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. The reason I was interested in all this is that if you think it's tough, and it is tough for grown guys, it's getting really tough for young men who... I'm reading these things, and I'm amazing. Number one, and this is not new information, because there is so much texting going on,
yep.
Some people, and I'm just going to leave this to young men now because that's what we're discussing, have a hard time talking to people.
Right, right.
Well, that's huge. This is a precursor to all the things we just talked about. If you can't even talk to the person comfortably,
yep.
Or because you're only used to texting,
right?
This is really bad. Yeah,
even eye contact.
Yeah, good point. I was just reading, and this is just insane. Two insane things. Number one, the first one is there is now an increased number of young men who think they meet a really cute girl online who says, I saw your profile and I just think you're really interesting. And at some point down the road, back and forth, they talk about this, that, and they have so much in common. And she's so flattering and so silly. And ha, 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 ha. She asked to can you send me kind of like a racy picture of you?
Right.
Which dumb guy does. And the next thing they find out that the really cute girl who really liked him is some guy in some foreign country who now says, unless you send me money, I'm going to send the photos you sent me to everyone you know, including your parents.
Right.
And these kids are being extorted, and they're stealing money from their parents, and they're trying to, you know, sneak things through their parents' credit cards.
Yep.
You know, as someone commented online in the article in the paper about this, they're saying most young women really never ask young men for pictures of, well, their private parts. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't happen in the real world. But this is an indication as to, number one, how lonely these guys are and how lacking in communication these guys are. The second thing I read this week, and now this is being blown up by all of the talk about AI, you know, artificial intelligence. There is now a service, which they claim is doing well, that for $9.95 a month, you can create your own artificial intelligence girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
And she can look like you want her to look. She can talk like you want her to talk. She can talk to you about things. She can ask you how you feel about things. She can change your hairdo if you want. She can change your dress style if you want. She can, you know, she's your girlfriend, and she's AI, and she learns about you.
Yep.
And they're saying this is destroying men.
Oh, sure.
Because this is not how you relate to real people, especially real women that you're trying to get to know.
Right, right.
I think
it's indicative, too, about the way a lot of people treat their relationship with God, that we tend to want to put, you know, God in that box and make him what we want him to be. And this is how this works, and this is what I'm willing to, you know, what I'm willing to pray, and when, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, this is my job, this is your job, and put God in a box that's their own. It just doesn't work that way.
No, you know, it doesn't work that way.
This conception of even our relationship with God, we start trying to put it in these parameters that we have here on earth with our relationships with other people. And so the way we interact with other people, you know, through the online dating and, like you said, the AI and everything, you know, you kind of get a preview of what's to come in the faith life of people in general. Not everyone, certainly, but you know, the pop culture out there, what's that faith life look like? It looks like, well, it needs to fit what I think it should be.
And
there's
also
no room for anybody else. There's no room for any individuality, uniqueness. There's no room for mistakes. You know, and we see that with people in relationships that they give up so fast, you know, that, you know, is this worth fighting for? Is this worth, you know, maybe where am I wrong in this relationship? I mean, that's even friendships as well. We see that all the time with friendships. You know, everything is so fragile these days. It's so fragile.
Yeah, and people are very insecure about a lot of different things. And if you ever want to have a couple of chuckles, and this may not be, well, it may not be safe for work because you can't tell what you're going to see. Google texting mistakes where autocorrect drops in the wrong words.
Oh, boy.
It's just, I'm sorry. Some of the stuff is really funny. You know, I mean, just, you know, people saying they're going to go out and buy some, you know, some food or something, and it totally changes what they're saying. They're going to say, I'm going to go out and get drunk. You're going to do what?
Right.
No. I've got to get something to clean up a skunk, you know, or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
But anyway, texting can obliterate communication, especially if it corrects what you're saying, because it thinks you must have typed something wrong or just make, you know, it's inaccurate. The bigger thing, though, is that most of this stuff, the AI girlfriends, the texting things, the dating sites, all this stuff, its real purpose in life is not to enrich your life. It's to enrich their pocketbooks.
Yeah.
This is all done because they want either clicks or money.
Yep.
And you're basically being used. Now, I realize people are going to go, oh, listen to that old boomer. He's so square. He doesn't get it, does he? Now, I understand there's a lot of good use for these things. But seriously, over the years, there is absolutely no comparison to making a friend, a real one, and keeping that friend.
Yep.
It's absolutely no, you know. And I remember we were talking to Bishop Callahan. He lost an old friend who had passed away. And he says, yeah, the problem is, you can't make new old friends. This is true.
Right.
But you can make new friends at any age. And you can just, and one of the ways I keep saying it, boy, the one of the absolute, the rock we can use for a good youthful life and a good adult life is staying with your church.
Yep.
My friends that I made for my lifetime started with youth fellowship groups. And I was in them from fifth grade all the way through high school. And, you know, the difference in having good people who also think about their religious life. I had very good fortune that our youth fellowship leader was a seminarian. You know, he was a relatively young guy, and it worked. It just did. And it kept me out of a lot of trouble when I was in the military. And, you know, I could have gotten into all kinds of crazy stuff. But boy, that grounding is important. And so getting back to the conference now, the reason that the young men come free with Dad is to kind of get that thing in motion, to get it going, that you and Dad can, you know, dads and kids always have conflicts because, you know, the kid never quite does exactly what Dad hopes he will do in many cases, right? You know, mine certainly didn't. You know, and that happens. Everybody has conflict, and even the growing up and separating from the household can be painful because you're not doing. You know, your parents don't want you to make some of the same mistakes they made.
Right.
But there really isn't a whole lot. I mean, you know how that works. You probably had those discussions with your sons as well.
Yeah. Well, and with the men's conference, to me, it's only logical because fathers and sons, they go in sporting events together. They do hunting together. They, you know, whatever. Why not faith?
Exactly.
Why not? Why not we have that experience together? And maybe the hope is it brings up a discussion of maybe the father, the son, one or both. You know, I'd never heard, you know, something put that way before, or, you know, that brings up something I don't quite understand. And then they can have a chat about it. You know, it's not just, let's just attend this together and like, all right, we did that. That's fine. It's what does this lead to? You know, and that, hopefully that's with any kind of church event that we do is not just a one and done thing, but what does that lead to? What's next? What are we going to do next together?
Yeah. Even though you have this age disparity and one is the dad and one is the son, you are both on the same adventure together.
Yep.
And if you can bond a little bit that way, my dad was very quietly religious. He didn't expound on his beliefs. He was very ecumenical about things. And, you know, as I've told the story, and I'm not going to go through it now, but the night before I joined the Army during the Vietnam War, he gave me a prayer card that he had carried all the way through World War II.
Mm.
And it was one of the kindest things he'd ever did. And it, you know, it expressed a certain amount of faith. It was very nice. But, we did not have the kind of discussions about religion that you may be having with your son, for example.
Yeah,
and a lot of guys, you know, especially who have been through periods of war and things like that, they don't always open up about a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and so it's doubly difficult to talk about that. But this is a golden opportunity to to really have your son maybe open his eyes and say, you know something, this stuff that dad keeps going to church about and he talks about once in a while and we do this for that reason, maybe there's a reason for doing all this stuff. And gee, I didn't know that kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And you can have discussions. I'm fortunate, we've been married now 40 years, that my wife, who used to work in a seminary library at one time, we have interesting discussions. We were listening to some kind of a homily about Jesus casting out the money changers. And I had always, you know, heard it was because they didn't like, they were making profit off this. They were changing the money and getting their cut. But the other reason that was explained in this thing I heard was that that he wanted to make more room in there for the common people to come in. And I had never, and I said to her, I've never heard that before. She said, neither have I. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that at some point we're going to research and see whether that was just an opinion of the person delivering the homily or whether that's another thing. But we had the discussion back and forth. That was the point. Yeah. Because we're both talking about, we both have an interest in these things.
Yeah.
And we also have an interest in the stories of the Bible and which ones are this and which ones are that and how they fit into this and that. And we have those discussions.
Yeah.
You know, and I never have had those discussions with previous people that I was either romantically or friendship involved with, you know, so it's a really, really nice thing. It's a really nice thing. Who is going to be speaking at this now?
So we have Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He's going to be coming in. We have Father Clayton Elmhorst from our diocese, who's not only is he going to speak, but he's going to do a couple of original songs that he's written. So excited about that. And then we're also bringing in Ryan Phelan as another speaker we're bringing in to talk more about fatherhood. He and his wife, they have three biological children, but they're also foster parents as well. And so talking about fatherhood and what that means to him and the ways that he's seen God work through that, through their family and through being foster parents as well. So,
and what was the deacon going to talk about? The first guy?
He's gonna be just basically hitting us hard with faith. Like he is on fire for the faith, and just the theme of the conference is men alive in Christ, and he's going to hit that one really hard for us. So
Well, you know, we can't describe more thoroughly exactly what's going to be there. We can talk a bit more about it, but I can't emphasize enough how important this could be, not only for the life of a dad,
right,
but also for the life of their son. I am so completely convinced that during those relatively formative years, I mean, it should start in grade school, but also if you miss some of that, even in high school, those years when the kids are insecure and don't know what's going on, and kids want them to try this and want them to try that and do this, and let's take this challenge over here and and put Tide Pods in our mouth, and other stupid things. Boy, they need something they can hang their hat on.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my case, you know, and I'm speaking as a guy who's been around for a while now, church life provided that. And it wasn't just sitting in a pew and kind of praying and being very holy. No, it was doing stuff.
Yeah.
It was doing stuff. It was doing physical things. It was going camping. It was going on retreats. It was just helping out with things.
Yep. And that's, I think, we get hung up with, you know, in the Catholic Church. We might have talked about this before on the show, but like me being a convert, coming into the church as an adult, one of the things, the words that's driven me completely crazy since I've come into the church is the word obligation. And it's not because we don't have an obligation to go to Mass, but in our culture today, in our society, we live in the what's the minimum I have to do to get by. And so when people call me up and say, hey, you know, we've been promoting this Bible study or this conference or this retreat to our people and no one's coming. Why do you have any insight of why they're not coming? And I'll tell them it's because in their minds, we as a church have told them not to come. Of course, we haven't. But the way they hear obligation is the only thing I have to do is show up for Mass on Sunday, and then I'm done. I don't need to do anything else. There's no reason for me to come to Bible study. And so we don't need to change the word obligation, but I think we have to help people understand what the original intent of the word was. And it doesn't mean what it means today necessarily of what's the minimum I have to do to get by.
Yeah, and it's part of a spiritual discipline, essentially. Right. But even that's a scary thought. I was, you know, also a convert. You know, went through the RCIA. And by the way, I've gotten a clarification from Chris Karstens. The name RCIA, the new word "right," will be eventually changed to a different word. The Catholic bishops have been discussing this, but right now it is still RCIA as we have always known it. So. That's fine. It's just a small sidebar. That's a little footnote that we were. I was reading about this. Going, have they changed it? And not officially, and not yet. And that's why you still see RCIA, which is up on the website as well. But I was kind of horrified. I remember, you know, after all this preparation, you know, going to Mass, and I see people, they are going to Mass, you know, and the minute they receive communion, they exit the side door.
Yeah,
they don't stay for the final comments and blessing. It's kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's one thing I wrote about. I wrote about that in Catholic Life magazine, and have been kind of speaking about it more and more. Is looking at, you know, receiving the gift of the Eucharist and what does that mean? And explain, in a confirmation retreat just this past weekend, I said to them, you know, when you go to Mass, you're spending the first part of Mass preparing yourself for receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. And then when you go up and the priest, the deacon, the extraordinary minister, whoever it is, you know, says the body of Christ, that is an invitation to you to receive Christ. You say amen. That is your affirmative response saying, yes, I believe, I agree, you know, whatever you want to say, but that is your response to that invitation. But then a second invitation happens, and that's when you consume the body of Christ. That is your invitation to Christ to come and live within you and through you. So leaving church right after, you know, we really do ourselves a disservice because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I need some time to process what just happened and to pray and to think, what is my life going to look like now that I've received him and invited him into my life? You know, what's my life going to look like when I walk through these doors to go out back out into the world?
It's you know, this idea of racing out to your car so you can get out of the parking lot quicker.
As
opposed to sitting back in the pew and quietly thinking about, meditating on, what have I just done? What is this all about? Why am I here doing this? This is, you know, again, this is this thoughtfulness that lots of people have. Lots of people have.
Yeah.
But not many open up about, and they certainly don't share it with others who are relative strangers. And this is, again, where this conference comes in handy because there's a bunch of guys out there who are kind of like me. Ever since, I don't know when, I have had an active interest in understanding religious life. I find it fascinating. I happen to be very economical. I happen to be ecumenical in the sense I studied comparative religions, and I enjoy talking to rabbis. I would love to talk to an imam to find out what their relationship to God is. Mm-hmm. You know, I will do that, but. Just doing it with another person, another Christian, another Catholic, and discovering that, you know, you're not the only one who's got thoughts about this stuff. Tons of people have been trying to understand the nature of God, well, forever, and we still are. And it's interesting to do it, and you can get some real good thoughts from people, and maybe they will know something about something that they know a lot about and you don't, maybe authentic. You know, it's just a good thing to do because you say, hey, I'm not alone wondering. I'm not the only person staring at the stars.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on.
Right.
You could do it. And then also to pass on to your son this curiosity to say, look, son, I know that you're going to be hit with all kinds of stuff the minute you leave home to go to college or the military or go to work on your own or whatever. But seriously, take a look at this because this can be like an anchor keeping you from drifting too far. It's very important. Yeah.
And we want guys to come and, you know, and be able to ask questions and be able to discuss things and realize that not only they're not alone in what they believe, they're not alone in maybe the things that they struggle with as well. And like you said, you know, this sense of loneliness that is kind of plaguing our society today, maybe this is a little bit of a remedy for that.
Yeah. And, you know, despite the fact that I'm sure I come off very serious about this, which I am, I have to tell you that these kind of events, including RCIA, are not only eye-opening, they're fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Studying and examining religion and trying to clarify your relationship with God is fun. Because you walk away thinking, you know, I learned a lot more from this, you know, than I did playing fantasy football. You know, I mean, it really is. It's especially if you run across somebody who is a good, I'll use the word holy person, and I will say that, and my relationship, if you want to call it that, as a host, with Bishop Callahan and his thinking and how his mind works and how he reacts to things. We are not buddy buddies. We are not confidants. You know, that's a different world. But to see how people who have given a great deal of thought and in many cases devoted their lives to serving God, as of course Bishop Callahan has done, as all our priests have done, our religious, you know, our deacons, all these people, you learn something from them.
Yep.
And the only way you can really do this in a kind of a concentrated way is to go to a conference like this where you can see these people in action.
Yep.
Where they're really kind of spilling their thoughts out. You know, the old saying that I got from way back when was, religion is not taught, it is caught.
Yeah.
And it's thrown out there. And some people will catch certain things they never thought about before, as maybe your son will.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think people are intimidated by sometimes going to some of these things because they think, wow, I'm going to be in a room full of people who get it. It's like, I'm not going to fit in there. Like, no, that's not what this is. This is a room full of people who are digging deeper, who are questioning, who are just trying to get further in their faith, just like you are. So you're not out of place. You're right where you need to be.
Yeah. Good old Brother Lawrence wrote that little book, The Practice of the Presence of God. And in many different faiths, including Catholicism particularly, I noticed this right away, there are different paths. I don't mean necessarily different orders and things like that. But if you're the kind of person who is a real hands-on, likes to work as part of your faith, you know, there's all kinds of physical stuff you can do with the church. You can help them build stuff, all kinds of things. If you are very, very enriched by rich ceremony and symbolism, and you just love seeing it, wow, the stuff that's in the Mass, the stuff that's in the Chrism Mass, the Easter Vigil, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, it will not get any richer. I had an uncle, my Uncle Jim out in California. He was not particularly religious. He was raised Presbyterian, but he always went to a Catholic church for Christmas Eve, because he said, nobody does it like the Catholics. And all this stuff is out there, and it is really good. Now, you mentioned there's also going to be a musician there playing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Father Clayton is going to play a couple of his songs during his talk. We're excited about that.
What instruments does he play?
Guitar. He sings and plays guitar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very gifted. I got to hear him before here and there. So very gifted with music abilities for sure.
Well, that's really good. Now, I should go off topic a little bit. People may not realize this, but it's probably on hiatus for quite some time now. But you had your own band as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We did for several years. We did. Mm-hmm. And kind of COVID happened, and then all kinds of changes happened with that, and so we haven't played in a while. So it's,
yeah, but you were available to go to play at events and things like that.
We had a really good time.
And sometimes life gets in the way, and you can't be a musician all the time. So it's kind of a shame.
Right,
but you guys had some fun.
We certainly did. You know, and looking at these. You know, those kinds of things, the big event things. One of the things, I don't know if this has made it to you yet, but in June of 2024, the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage is coming through our diocese.
Oh, absolutely. I have been seeing the stickers and the posters and all the things floating around. We're going to be jumping head and feet into that.
Tons of stuff. And we have, in particular, the one thing that I've been very blessed to help out on is on June 7th, we have a Eucharistic rally that's happening. And that is going to be in the arena at the Lacrosse Center. So we're expecting thousands of people to attend this. This may be one of the biggest events we've ever had for Catholics in lacrosse. And we have amazing speakers. We have Chris Stefanik, Immaculée Ilibagiza, who was a Rwandan genocide survivor, Josh Rosa from New York. We have Luke Spehar and his band from the Twin Cities. Father Justin Kazuski is going to speak. It's just going to be an amazing day. So we're really, really looking forward to that. And then everything else that comes with that pilgrimage coming through our diocese. And I think they're here for 5 days and going through the diocese. And so there's going to be amazing events and amazing opportunities to be close to our Lord and grow deeper in our Catholic faith in those 5 days.
Chris Stefanik may ring a bell with some people who've been around for a while.
He was actually my position. I replaced him. He was the director of youth and young adult ministry for our diocese for several years. And then he's the one that I replaced.
Mm-hmm. So basically, this is the interesting thing is because, he is now semi-famous for writing around the country and other parts of the world for that matter. And but this is how it happens. I mean, he was one of these guys who loved the church, liked working with the church. He worked, with the youth ministries. He moved on to elsewhere. He was in a different diocese doing different things. But these people just don't pop up overnight. They're not flash in the pans. Right. What he'll be talking about, and I'm not sure what it would be at this point, but whatever it is the product of years of spending time with other people in church life.
Right.
This is not something they just cooked this up for, this isn't like a pop group that is artificially assembled and makes some money for a few years and then goes away again. These are genuinely interesting people who've got something to say based on all kinds of experiences. Now, Immaculée, I had a chance to meet her very, very briefly one time. And again, her story of surviving the whole idea of the Rwanda genocide, we won't cover it right now, but it is really, if you boil it down, her story is that of what happens when people stop loving each other and someone tells them you should hate them instead.
Right, right.
And you can take the experience she had and you can look at today's headlines and begin to see the same thing. This is nothing new. It happened to her big time. It happened in Rwanda. We've talked about this in the past. This is before the internet, before all that stuff. But some people got together and they even got to use radio to say, those neighbors of yours really aren't your neighbors anymore.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't like them. The power of falsehood can be quite persuasive sounding.
Right.
And so this is something that, again, for a young person, somebody's son who's there, even though this happened a while back, you could overlay this into what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
And so this stuff is incredibly valuable. It really is. Again, let's repeat the dates on this.
The beginning of this Eucharistic pilgrimage procession coming through our diocese starts June 7th. So they'll be coming from the Diocese of Winona-Rochester, and we will have a Eucharistic procession basically going across the bridge downtown here, La Crosse, to the arena. And we'll have Mass in the arena. There'll be adoration all day, confessions being heard all day. We're going to have a holy hour of adoration to end the day in the arena. The speakers, we have Luke Spehar and his band. They're actually going to do a little bit of a concert for us as well that day based on songs he's written on pilgrimage, which is based off of his time on the El Camino Trail. So just all kinds of things that just really come together nicely, and the Holy Spirit has definitely been working overtime on bringing the right people together. So yeah.
I just wanted to separate those two so people didn't think Immaculée is not being at the men's conference.
No, she's not. She's not. Keeping out for her on June 7th, and that Eucharistic rally June 7th. That's for anybody. So
we'll have a lot more about that
as it
gets closer. But it's interesting though. But again, right now, this month, in a matter of a relatively short time, you can get to the men's conference and you can see people on fire for their faith.
Yep.
Or people simply questioning, which is great too.
Yes.
And then, maybe by June, when, this other very large event takes place, maybe your son's going to say, "Hey, Dad, I want to go see what this is all about over here too," because that's what you never can tell how these things chain themselves together.
Right.
And they help to eliminate, as you say, the term obligation.
Yes. Absolutely.
We should change it to opportunity.
Yeah.
Because it is an opportunity. And, as someone once said years ago in one of my deals back in my studies, the wind of grace is always blowing, but you have to raise your sail.
Mm.
And this is a case where the wind of grace is blowing through this diocese and other dioceses as well. We are not the only one doing these kinds of things. And if you're in a separate diocese, if you're listening elsewhere, check with your local diocese to see what they're doing, because they are as interested in this kind of thing as we are. Yep. And there may be something going on right under your nose, even if you aren't in the Diocese of La Crosse. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
It's just remarkable. My gosh, what else is on your plate? I have to ask you this. We've got a few minutes to go here, but I'm just curious. These are massively large events for you. What else do you do? You must have time for other things during the week.
Sure, right. It depends on the week. It depends on what's going on and what needs to be done. There's a general ongoing work of the office. As far as other events go, we have a diocesan confirmation retreat coming up on December 2nd that's going to be at St. Olaf Parish in Eau Claire. We have the March for Life that we're going on, the Pilgrimage for Life in January out to Washington, D.C. So all those kind of ongoing things and the events that we're doing as well. And we've gone through and we've planned out the next 2 years. So we have all of our events scheduled for the next 2 years through 2025. So we know what's happening and when it's happening and where it's happening. So, yeah.
And you also have, you work as kind of a clearinghouse where this is marriage and family life. So people will come to you asking about marriage prep. And do you deal with that? Or do you?
We do. Marriage preparation, marriage enrichment. People, sometimes people call when they're having trouble in their marriage. Where can they go for help? We, of course, welcome all of those calls and whatever other calls that come in. So we are here for that. We are here for the marriages, for the families, for youth ministry, young adult ministry, grief ministry, and everything in between.
I was just talking to the people at the marriage tribunal, which is kind of the opposite end of the scale. I said, "How are things going over there?" And he said, basically, during the pandemic, there wasn't a whole lot of activity, but all of a sudden, people are considering getting married now. And in some cases, one of the spouses, the future spouses, was previously married, and there is an annulment process, which we could cover some other time with the proper people. But it's very interesting, and they're getting kind of busy now that the pandemic is sort of passed, and we're now just dealing with day-to-day getting your shots.
Yeah.
But there's people who if you are not Catholic and you want to marry a Catholic, You talk to Chris's people because they can give you some information on what all that entails. If you are a Catholic and you are marrying someone who has been previously married, you should talk to the marriage tribunal, because there are some ways that things can be kind of cleared out, and it's not the worst thing in the world. It's something that is sometimes very clarifying for people to understand where their marriage went.
I understand it's a very healing process. It can be. So,
They're not condemning you, and they're not saying your marriage never existed. They're not saying that your children, if there are any, are illegitimate or anything like that. They help you understand what went wrong.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting time. But again, that's a separate department. We've talked about that periodically. Actually, this is not the worst time in the world to get a guest on from that department, because all of the wedding fairs are going on now.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we're here for. We're here to serve the people of the Diocese of La Crosse and and then beyond if they call in. So that's what we are here to serve. We're not here to judge. We're not here to do anything but serve and love. So
Have you been to a wedding lately?
I was at one this summer.
Okay. So you're up on current weddings because you said you were married. How many years ago did you get married?
26.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to one a few weeks ago, and like I say, it was mildly amusing. Mostly the reception afterwards. In this case, it was outside, which was kind of nice. But they had all these tchotchkes. You know, it used to be like people would bang the side of their glass, tink, 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 to get the couple to kiss and things like that, big Wisconsin tradition. They actually had little miniature brass cowbells they handed out with the couple's initials on them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I'd actually go, wow, is right. Yeah. And then they had these kiosks in different places with like iPads built into them. And you could walk up and this thing would turn on. And if you wanted, it would take your picture, which then would become part of the record of the reception, you know. But also it could email you a copy of it.
Oh, nice.
To your phone. And wow. I'm just going, yeah, I was lucky to have my buddy shoot our wedding, you know, with a 35 millimeter camera.
Right.
But yeah, if you haven't been to a wedding recently, the Catholic wedding, of course, will be a Catholic wedding. It is a sacrament. But sometimes you may find the receptions are not like maybe yours were years ago.
Yeah,
everybody had a good time and it was lots of fun. And a lot of the prep work they did to clear the brush in this property, the bride and groom did themselves with chainsaws. Oh. So it was really deep. But anyway, it was just fun. It was just fun. So basically, again, last time, October 14th is coming up. What time does this start on October 14th?
October 14th, I believe it's 8:30 in the morning.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, October 14th, and then go to menofthecross.org.
Okay, and there's registration
the there. Yeah, the
registration is there. Is there a deadline to get into this now?
I mean, we can take payment day of. That's fine.
Okay,
too.
So
having people register before helps us with our numbers because lunch is included in the registration. And
you want to make sure you get your good turkey sandwich or whatever it's going
right,
to be.
Right, right.
Usually pretty good food at these things, I must tell you.
Yeah.
They're really good food. But yeah, I don't know how many different ways I can say it. If you're a dad and you'd like to meet some other guys who you could talk to about this stuff and maybe share some other stuff, whether it be hunting or fishing or whatever, sports.
Yep.
If you've got a son who you'd like to be a little bit more close to church, you can just kind of tell they're kind of rolling their eyes a little bit. Get them to come along.
Yeah. Come hang out with us for the day.
Yeah. Just tell them, you know, look, if you don't want to get real involved, just sit and watch and look at other kids and look at other guys and look at what they say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's important. It's you can say as a dad, it's important to me that you see this and, you know, no pressure. Let God do the work.
Yes. You
know? Yes. And that's how I would do it. Now, maybe I'm way out of the ballpark when it comes to the proper way of doing it. I'm pretty sure what you don't want to say is, you're going to this thing with me whether you like it or not.
Right.
That probably is not going to work as well.
Exactly. Exactly. But I think we have a really nice day set up and one that all these ages will enjoy get something out of.
Yeah. Well, Chris Rogers, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you doing this. Appreciate all the hard work you're doing.
And thank you for having me. Thank you.
We will, you know, as I always say, and please take advantage of this, we have the opportunity to do some so-called public service announcements in the show that only are heard in the Diocese of La Crosse. And if something imminent is coming up, drop me a quick note. And
I will certainly do that.
If you contact me on a Monday or a Tuesday, I can have it on the air that weekend.
That's great. Yeah,
that'd be good to do. And say hi to the former band members for me.
I will do that. I will do that. Okay. I will do that.
Well, thank you much. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Chris Rogers, director from the Office of Family Life at the Diocese of La Crosse. Well, I got my flu shot. They are readily available throughout the Diocese of La Crosse. They seem to be almost everywhere right now. Didn't hurt. Shot was quick. didn't have any reactions to it, no flu-like symptoms, no nothing afterwards. We're rapidly moving into that time of year where if you do have a compromised immune system, you're a little bit older, maybe just the kind of person who seems to get sick a lot, by all means, you know, get that vaccine because it's an effective one for this particular strain that's out this year. And again, everyone is moving back inside pretty soon. Windows are going to be all shut even tighter and does get around. That flu does spread. And every year it makes a lot of people sick. You can lose a lot of work time. You can be miserable for a while. And again, it's preventable. Preventable with a vaccine that's available that is safe and effective. And again, I didn't have any bad problems with it. Just got the shot, went home, and nothing changed. Availability for the COVID-19 booster shot is not yet there. I checked my little thing on the internet to see where one was available near me. Nothing within 100 miles. So just wait. Wait a few more weeks and first get the flu shot and go back and get the COVID-19 booster. Again, if you're a person with an immunity compromised system, a little bit elderly or just prone towards getting stuff, kind of like the flu shot, should get the COVID booster vaccine as well. As far back as 2021, Pope Francis urged people to get the vaccine shots as a moral obligation and also what he called an act of love. Having killed more than 1 million people since the pandemic began, the virus is still with us. While we don't expect what happened before the vaccines were available, the cases are on the rise as people, again, move indoors and congregate closer to each other. Sadly, it has not magically vanished, so be careful out there. Get your shots.
You're listening to Connecting the Diocese.
Jack Socia here with you in the last few minutes of Connecting the Diocese. He spent an awful lot of time talking about the relationship between dads and their young men. Well, I thought it only fair to have at least a little something that talks about the relationship between dads and the young ladies, the little girls in their lives. This is a song that has brought a little bit of a tear to the eye of a lot of daddies out there. And also in the late 1950s, Eastman Kodak Company used it simply to sell film. They had nothing but the song playing and pictures of the little kids growing up. And I'll tell you, it sure worked. If you've never heard it, it talks a lot about what your experience with your little girl growing up is all about right now. I'll leave you to it, and I'll see you next week right here on Connecting the Diocese. Thanks so much for listening.
Where are you going, my little one, little one? Where are you going, my baby, my own? Turn around and you're two, turn around and you're four. Turn around and you're a young girl going out of the door. Turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around and you're a young girl going out of the door. Going, my little one, little one, little dirndls and petticoats, where have you gone? Turn around and you're tiny, turn around and you're grown. Turn around and you're a young wife with babes of your own. Turn around. Turn around and you're a young wife with babes of your own. Where are you going, my little one, little one? Where are you going, my baby, my own? Turn around and you're two, turn around and you're four. Turn around. young girl going up.